back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having
Read
Well,
I'm a chicken fried.
Authors about their books.
Cold beer on a Friday
night. My guest
is
KJ Delantonia,
a pair
and she
of jeans
has
that fit
debut novel
just
out.
Right.
It's called The Chicken Sisters, and it is available where every fine book is sold. And KJ, this was an absolutely fun book to read, and I'm always intrigued when people write a story about different generations of a family and what the hook is to do it. You use the hook of a reality TV show. So as you set about and had this story in your mind, did the reality TV show and the story come first, or did the idea of writing a generational story come first for you?
The first thing for me was the two conflicting chicken restaurants. So I guess that means that the generational thing came first, because that needed to be a story that sort of went deep in time. So I would say the generational story somewhat came first. The process of writing this book was super convoluted, I think, because it's my first novel. So it's a little hard for me to even remember what came first. It just, I sort of had so many story ideas and dumped them all out on the page, and then had to figure out which ones were the ones that really were interesting for me and for the reader.
So set it up for us. These two chicken restaurants, Chicken Mimi's and Chicken Franny's, what is their history and how did they become these rivals?
Chicken Mimi's and Chicken Franny's were started by a pair of sisters in the late 1800s. One was serving the coal mines, one was serving the railroad. They had a massive feud because one didn't like the other's husband, essentially, and became rivals, and got to the point over the years where they wouldn't even let the family members from the other family aren't even allowed in the original person's restaurant. One restaurant was much more sort of financially successful. The other one was much more of a family endeavor. They took kind of different paths. So then to pit them against each other in the reality TV show was kind of a fun way to pit different ways of looking at life against each other.
Well, the reality TV show really acts as an antagonist in the book, because that's where a lot of the conflict drives from, is this reality TV show, right?
Absolutely. Because what happens is that the two current sisters, the current generation, they are raised by the mother who runs Chicken Mimi's, and then one of them marries the son of Chicken Franny's, while the other one gets the heck out of Dodge. I think every Midwesterner is familiar with this feeling of, oh, you know, I got to go somewhere else to live my real life. So one of them felt that way and is discovering that she was, maybe a little hasty there in disregarding what she had when she lived in Kansas, which is where the book is set. So she comes home to help her mother when this reality TV show comes up. And the other sister who's the one who set up the reality TV show, Amanda, she's going to compete for Chicken Franny's. And the idea, they think, is that they will all just, we'll be friendly behind the scenes and we'll just do this, and somebody will get the money. But you can tell from minute one that the tensions in this family are not going to let them slide smoothly into this. It's the first opportunity to compete, and they're going to get ugly, and they do.
Well, and I had to actually look and see if Food Wars was an actual show, because there's a gazillion of these reality shows out there. And so as you said about creating this reality show, the world is your canvas, because there's about a reality show about everything now, isn't there?
There absolutely is. And there was a competing, there was something kind of like My Invented Food Wars at some point, in the last couple of decades. It wasn't structured the way that mine was, or if it was, I didn't even know that, because, who knows. But yeah, there's a reality show for everything. And I got my extremely limited reality TV show experience a long time ago, like 20 years ago. It was supposed to be a reality TV show about surprise parties. I don't think it ever aired. Certainly the one I was on never aired, because although they set us all up and had this whole surprise, the person that was supposed to get surprised, their flight never left Denver. So they never got there. So I had the experience of that whole sort of, all right, now line up again. Okay, now get behind the door again. Okay, we didn't really get that. Can you guys jump out? Can you do this thing again? Well, all right, get on the phone with him and talk about why they're not going to show, you know, they tried to sort of salvage an episode out of it. I don't think that they did, but I did have just a little bit of a taste of the way that the producers have to move things around and make things happen.
Well, isn't the dirty little secret of these reality shows is that they're called reality, but nonetheless, there's a camera going, and so people don't always behave real on the camera. I mean, I even think back to when Cops first aired. I thought there's no way that people behave the same way on the camera, particularly the police officers behind the camera, that they do when there's no camera on them, right?
You would think so. I do think people, to some extent, can't hide who they really are for very long. So I think that may be the secret of a reality TV show, is that even though you put the cameras on them, and for some, there's probably some transition period where people are super aware of the cameras, but I think most of us can't pretend to be nice to annoying Uncle Bobby at the Thanksgiving table or whatever for as long as we think we can. So that's how the reality TV show ends up capturing something. It may not be the same reality that would be there without the camera, but it's not exactly fake either. It's kind of this interesting dichotomy.
You set this in Kansas, as you said, little small town in Kansas, and I know you have Kansas roots, and so when you went about creating your small town, was that sort of the idyllic one that you had in mind, or did you hail from an area that was somewhat akin to that?
I did grow up in both Texas and Kansas, but always in cityier places, but there are two, I'm sure you know this, there are two competing chicken restaurants in a small town in Kansas, in Pittsburgh and Frontenac, like a double small town, Chicken Annie's and Chicken Mary's, and my folks are from there. So I grew up going to those two restaurants, which is where, how they managed to stick in my mind. And then from there, it's kind of always bugged me that, you know, you read fun books about idyllic small towns in the South and idyllic small towns all over England and idyllic small towns in New England. But people hardly ever sort of put that kind of fun, great place to live in the Midwest. So I wanted to, I wanted to create that kind of Gilmore Girls magical small town feeling in the place that I am from.
What is so special about chicken? Because I got to thinking about this. If this was about a burger joint, it probably wouldn't have worked as well. So what made chicken so special with it?
Oh, there's just something about, well, first of all, there's just something about fried chicken, right? It's hard. You hardly ever get good fried chicken, at least not living where I do. So there's something about that craving for fried chicken. And then I think there's the playing around with the idea of, you know, being chicken and playing chicken, the game where you're trying to see who's going to fade away first, and then eating chicken. I don't know, there's a lot, there's just more to the word and the presence and the chickens are more interesting. Chickens are just more fun.
I'm chatting with KJ Dell'Antonia about her brand new novel, The Chicken Sisters. It is available wherever books are sold. You've written for years. You've written blogs. You've written a nonfiction book. But when you sat down to write a novel, did you find that particularly challenging compared to the writing that you've done? Or is writing and it's just hard every time you do it?
It is hard every time you do it. It was hard to learn. Two things were hard about switching to fiction for me. And the first was, I've spent my career in journalism, so fact-checking is a deep and integral part of what we do. So the minute you just start making things up, it feels very strange, and there's this part of you that wants to, like, make everything as solid as possible to every fact, and you just want to spend all your time on that. So that was part of it. And then creating a story that was interesting, that was satisfying, that sort of was fun to read and also thoughtful. That was a real learning process. I wrote easily three times as many words as you get in the novel.
As you take out words that you've written, is it like sending a kid away for school or something? Because these are your creation, and so as you cut out so much of the book, is there a little bit of you that is maudlin about it? And or do you, have you gotten as far in the writing process and just realize editing is part of it?
I am pretty good at just tossing things aside. When you work in journalism and you write something that's 1,000 words and the editor is like, it needs to be 700 words and I need it in 15 minutes, you do get used to that. But it is hard when you've written a whole scene or a whole sort of storyline around a particular character, and you end up just going, this does not serve the main story. It's not that it's not interesting. It's not that, the words aren't fun. The dialogue isn't entertaining. It just doesn't move the action forward. And as a reader, you always want to be getting somewhere, right? There's some question that you want to answer, and you always want to see your story moving towards that.
You mentioned your nonfiction writing, and I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, your name is one that's a memorable name. It's unique. And so I remember reading a piece in the New York Times that you wrote about your experience in a quarantine when you and your family were overseas. Can you just share that story with me? Because I thought it was fascinating. It really put it into perspective and frankly scared the hell out of me when I read it back in early, I think it was early spring it ran.
It was March. This is just so funny because in March, we had had, this was a unique experience. Now it's like, oh, geez, you got quarantined? Whatever. So my family and I, one of my children is adoptive and she is from China, and we were going to get her. So it was me and my husband and my mother and three kids aged 3, 5, and 7, and we went to China in 2009, right as the H1N1 flu was sort of hitting, and we got swept up in it. We got off the plane, we managed to spend a couple of days in touring Beijing, and then got a phone call. They had contact traced us. See, everybody, all the lingo is so much easier now. They had contact traced us from the airplane. The people in the seat in front of my husband and my son were H1N1 positive, and they wanted to quarantine us, so they swept us up and they tested us, and my husband proved to have it, so they put him in the hospital and they put the rest of us in a quarantine hotel in China. We were the only Westerners in the hotel. There was one hotel person, one who spoke English, and he very quickly learned to avoid me. and that's where we spent 10 days eating Chinese food and really good Chinese food and not knowing what was going to come next, which is now I feel that it's familiar to all of us. We didn't know whether one of us would get H1N1, whether they would extend the quarantine, we were really at their mercy, which was a very strange experience at the time, and still is, because China certainly handles this differently than the United States does. So to be so, there were literally people with guns at the hotel entrance. So definitely a different approach.
Well, and to add to it, you know a lot of words, but none of them in Mandarin, right?
Very, very, very few. I could say about 2 things, and I could understand almost nothing. So, yeah, that didn't help.
Oh, well, this book is just a fun book to read. It's called The Chicken Sisters. It's the brand new novel from KJ Dell'Antonia. The book is available now wherever you buy your books. KJ, just a fun read here, and it was entertaining for me just to get out of the whole doldrum of the pandemic and to read something entertaining. So I thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
And a little bit of chicken fried. Cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just